How many of you are feeling a little bit just overwhelmed with stuff to do? Maybe you're tired. How many are feeling tired with the weather and all the stuff you got to do? And I know that there's some of us today that God wants to encourage your heart. And I believe the Lord is going to encourage you today through what He's placed on the heart to share with you today. There's no God like my God. There's no God like my God. That's the title, Janet. There's no God like my God. Let me tell you what happened to me. I went down to Florida about 3 weeks ago today, and I was driving down on I-75, turned on the Florida Turnpike. How many know where the Florida Turnpike is? Just on the other side of Gainesville, you go a little further, you turn on the Florida Turnpike to go down to where Orlando is. And have you ever been on the Florida Turnpike? Well, if you have, you know that there are tolls, T-O-L-L-S, tolls. You have to pay as you go on the Florida Turnpike. Well, the problem wasn't during the daytime. When I was driving down, I was rested and I stopped at each toll and paid the toll. I think there were three in all in order to get to my destination. The problem was coming back. The problem was I came back at night. I had been preaching all week long, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, getting in at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock one morning, 5 o'clock one morning. And so by the time Thursday rolled around, I was a little fatigued, needless to say. Well, the story goes that as I was coming back, it was probably 11:30 at night. I knew that I'd be driving all night long. And I was rejoicing, praising God, what God had done in the revival meeting. The lives were changed and souls were saved. To God be the glory. Well, I'm riding along on this Florida Turnpike, and all of a sudden, I'm just raptured up in glory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then I just ride right past this toll booth. I just rode right past it and didn't realize it until I drive past it. I said, uh-oh, I better do something. So I pulled over the side of the road about a half a mile down the road and started backing up to the toll booth. I backed up not to where the pay cashier was, but on the other side, and started to get out of my car. And the lady said, no, don't get out of your car. I said, why not? Can't you tell I'm from Georgia? Amen. We don't know any better up there or down. Yeah, up there. Well, she said, stay in your car. So anyway, long story short, I paid this toll. I finally got into the right lane, paid the toll, and went on my way. When I was driving down the road, everything was fine. And I was just, again, raptured up in heaven, praising God for His goodness, blessing Him how good He is. And the next thing you know, guess what? I rode by another toll booth down the road. I said, forget it. I hear my bed calling. Amen. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to stop. But I need to tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is, the lady told me, she said, if you don't stop, they'll just send your bill in the mail for $5. Amen. So if the pastor gets locked up, y'all know why. I just rode right past the toll booth. I said, I'm not going to stop. But I said all that to say this, aren't you glad that Jesus allows turnarounds in our life? Aren't you glad, praise God, that sometimes we miss the mark, but He allows us to back up. He allows us to turn around. And maybe there's somebody you today, you're not really walking in the straight and narrow way. You're not really in the will of God. And God's saying, today can be a turnaround for you. But furthermore, aren't you glad that one day, thanks be to God, when I get to glory, the Lord is going to pack my toll paid in full. I don't know anything when I get to heaven's gate. I'm going to say, praise God, I've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and my ticket has been paid a long time ago through the blood of the Lamb. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let me tell you this. I want you to take your Bibles as we think for a little while today on the subject of no God like my God. It was 2 weeks ago. The Lord had me to preach a message on Sunday night. No God like my God. Last Sunday in Sunday school, the same subject. And then today is part three. Tonight will be part four. I just can't get away from that thought. No God like my God. I don't know what kind of God you serve today, but I've got news for you. My God, He's the same on Monday as He is on Sunday. Why some of you walk around on Monday like your God's dead? Come on, talk to me. Some of you are maybe happy today and smile today, but tomorrow Monday you're down in the dumps. You just act like your God's dead on Monday. I came to tell you today, our God, He's alive on Monday. He's alive on Tuesday. He's alive on Wednesday. He's alive on Thursday. He's alive on Friday.
alive, and nobody can keep him from being alive. Hey, Christian friend, what kind of testimony are you going out to the world, whining, complaining, and griping, and worrying, and trouble, and not saying, my God is alive. There's no God like my God. I'll give you seven good reasons why there's no God like my God. Number one, he is a mountain mover. Number two, he is a giant killer. Number three, he is a need meter. Number four, he is a peace giver. Number five, oh brother, he's more than that. He's more than that. Number five, he is a hurt healer. Number six, he is a life saver. And number seven, hallelujah, he is a grave robber. He's robbed the grave. He's a king comer. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah, chapter 45. You know right offhand that Isaiah is called a mini Bible. Why? Because it has 66 chapters. Isaiah, chapter 45. Look with me and stand with me as we read this wonderful passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 45. There's no God like my God. No God like my God. Isaiah chapter 45. Let me just simply say this by the way of background as we launch into the message, no God like my God. Here in Isaiah, Isaiah is a prophet. He's prophesying to the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has already been overthrown by the Assyrians. And Isaiah is warning the southern kingdom, get ready or God's going to judge. If you notice in this wonderful book called Isaiah, chapter 1 through chapter 35, you could describe it in this term, the condemnation. But chapter 36 through 39, confiscation. And then chapter 40 through chapter 66, consummation. So you've got condemnation, you've got confiscation, and then you've got consummation. And in the middle of this particular book, or at the far end, chapter 45, Isaiah, we serve a great God, a miracle-working God, and do you know that God can even use a pagan king to accomplish his will? Take your Bibles and look with me in chapter 45, verse 1. What do I mean? Here's what I mean. God finds a man, God's got a plan, and God controls with his hand. I'm going to read to you in a moment about a king named Cyrus that God used as pagan king. You can read it in the book of Ezra, chapter 1. You can read it in other passages of scripture, how God allowed this man who was not even a Christian to be an instrument in his hand to let his people, namely the Jews, go back to their homeland. And so that's in the context of Isaiah 45. If you're in Isaiah 45, verse 1, would you say amen? Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Cyrus was the king of Persia, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-legged gate, and the gates shall not be shut. I love verse 2 and 3. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight, break in pieces the gates of brass, tear asunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord, which called thee by thy name, and the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I want you to pay attention to verse 5. Underline this. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. There's no God like my God. There's no God like my God. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. They, look at verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun, we sang about that a moment ago, and from the west, that there is none beside me. Underline this next phrase. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's no God like my God. Look over there in verse number 14. At the end of verse 14. Skip down to the end of verse 14. Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. There's no God like my God. Look over there in verse number 21. In verse 21 of Isaiah 45. At the very end of the verse, notice at the end of the verse, God is a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look at verse 22. Look unto me, turn unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There's no God like my God. Can I get an amen? I don't know about your God might be dead. Why, your God may be little. You may have a little old God in a box and you need to let him out. Why, I've been walking around at times and acting like our God is in a grave somewhere. My God's not in a grave anywhere. My God's alive. And if your God's not alive, you need to get rid of your God and come to the God of the Bible. There's no God like my God. Everything might not be going my way. Everything might not be going your way. But I know this, everything's going God's way. Oh, no God like my God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray you'll break us free from depression. You'll deliver us from the flesh. And Father, you'll free us by your Holy Spirit to recognize who you are, how great you are, how mighty you are. There's no God, Father, like my God, like you are. And I pray you'll forgive me the times I've acted like you've been a pygmy God. I pray now somehow, some way, Father, conviction will fall in our heart and conversion will fall in our heart. And Lord, you'll draw us nearer to you. You'll help us to fall in love with you. You'll wean us from the things of the world. You'll deliver us from the evil one. You'll God to help us with the eye faith to see that you are the mighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, the God who saved me, the God who loves me, the God who's coming for me, our God, there's none like you. I just want to testify, Father, before this church today, New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, that there's no God like my God, like you are. We pray, Lord, you'll get glory. We pray, Father, you'll give us grace to remove distractions and worries and cares and things we can't control. Zero in on the Spirit of the living God. Break us, bend us, subdue us. Lord, again we ask now for the fresh cleansing. Blot out every sin. Purge us of double-mindedness. Deliver us from, Father God, lust and lust of the flesh. Deliver us, Father, from worldliness and carnality. Oh, God, I pray the fire of heaven will burn in our soul. You'll bring us back in the center of your will. And, Lord, you'll have all that is to us. Lord, we confess of our own self. We can do nothing. But we're asking now for your glory, Lord, that you'll manifest your power in our life. And that, Father God, we'll sense your presence just now. Thank you again for your love. Thank you again for your forgiveness. Thank you again, precious Jesus, for taking my sins in your body on the tree. I want to bless you, Lord, for changing my heart, saving my soul. And God, I confess again, I'm a need creature. And I pray, God, if anything's going to be done today, you've got to do it. Our Lord, you brought people here today, and we're asking, believing, trusting, Father, that your word will go forth as a sharp-edged sword. And Father God, you give us ears to hear and hearts to obey you. And we thank you now for doing it. We bless you, Jesus. There's no God like you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen and amen. There's seven reasons why there's no God like my God. Number one, he is a mountain mover. Number two, he is a jock killer. Number three, he is a need meter. Number four, he is a peace giver. Number five, he is a hurt healer. Number six, he is a life saver. And number seven, he is a grave robber. Number one, there's no God like my God. He is a mountain mover. How many believe that he can move the mountains? You sang about a moment ago, Joy. He can move the mountains. I want to take you back to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 11. You don't have time to read it all, but you can note that in your notes. In Mark chapter 11, you'll notice in Mark 11 that Jesus had just entered into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, when they began to shout and say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And here I can see in my mind's eye, here is Jesus and Peter and John and the disciples. Watch this. And they walk behind the side a fig tree. Jesus can see the leaves on the fig tree. He begins to look and see if there are any figs on the fig tree. How many know what a fig tree is? How many got a fig tree in your yard? Well, we're told in the Eastern culture that a fig tree, once the fig leaves begin to bloom in the spring and the summer, normally figs begin to appear. However, on this occasion, the Lord happened to approach this particular fig tree and look under the leaf, and guess what he didn't find? He did not find any figs at all. It was plenty of leaves, but no fruit. Can I tell you something? Jesus is a fruit inspector. Where is the fruit in your life? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit flowing through you? Love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance, self-control? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life? Are you bearing fruit? Are you making a difference in your life? Jesus looked at the tree and said, "Cursed is that tree." They made their way over to the temple. And then later they're coming back. And they stop at this fig tree dried up by the roots. And Peter said, "Look, Lord, there is that fig tree you cursed." And Jesus made an astounding statement. Listen to what he said. He said, "Have faith in God." He said, "Have faith in God." How many believe that having faith in God is important? I mean, a fig tree has just been cursed. It's withered away. There's no fruit on it. And Jesus is saying, "Have faith in God." What did it mean? He said this further in Mark chapter 11. He said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain," no doubt he was near some mountains, "you shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the depths of the sea." He said, if you just got faith of the smallest seed of all, can I tell you something? There's no God like my God. There's no reason. Listen to me, brother. If you're listening, say amen. There's no reason why you ought and I ought not to trust God more. How do you know about to say amen? There's no reason why you don't need to trust him more. There's no reason why I should not trust my Lord more. Why? He said, not only have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches on his own. He cannot fail. No, he must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Then the Lord said this. He said, whatsoever things you ask, believe in, you shall receive. I'm telling you, there's no God like my God. Why? Because he is a mountain mover. Is there anybody here that's got a mountain in front of you? Come on, talk to me. Is there anybody here? You got a financial bill and you just can't seem to get out of debt. It's a mountain in front of you. Is there anybody here that's got a physical infirmity? It's a mountain in front of you. Is there anybody here that says, man, I just have got a situation. I can't change it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want you to know there's no God like my God. He's able to save the mountain, be thou removed and cast to the depths of the sea. He's looking for somebody to believe. Oh yeah. Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe he can do it? Oh, absolutely can do it. Take, for example, this past week I was over at the social circle we had, and there was Sister Lois Bates, Brother Chapman's here this morning, and she has a roommate named Ellen Leathers. I believe that was an answer prayer, don't you, brother? No doubt, an answer prayer. She is a sweet Christian lady. Her husband's there with her, and her children come from time to time. But Sister Lois looked at me on Thursday afternoon before Brother Chapman got there, and she said it not only once, she didn't say it twice, she said it three times. She said, "Brother Randy, when am I going to get to go home?" She said, "How long am I going to have to be here?" You know what I told her? I said, "One day at a time. Just one day at a time. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we can live one day at a time." Do you really believe God? Do you really have faith in God? Well, the reason my God, and there's no God like my God, is he's able to, number one, be a mountain mover. Will you let him move your mountain today? I said, will you let him move your mountain today? Number two, there's a second reason why you ought to say, thank God, there's no God like my God. Number two, not only is he a mountain mover, but number two, he is a giant killer. How many believe that he can kill the giants? How many are facing some giant today? I'll tell you what, here's the honest truth. We all face giants. Amen.
friend. I'll take you back to the Old Testament account. In the Old Testament, namely 2 Samuel chapter 21. Here is David. David is well up in age at this time. He's about 80 years young. And he is now king of Israel. Why, he has killed his giants in his time. He slew Goliath. He said to Goliath, "You come to me with swords and spears. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." How do you mean? There's no God like my God. He can kill the giant. I said he can kill the giant. I said there's some giants you're facing today that God alone can slay that giant. And so I see David in my mind's eye. There's a giant he's facing. What's his name? His name is Ish-bibenob. Let's say that name again. Ish-bibenob. Say it again. Ish-bibenob. Here's a great big giant, David. Watch this. He's tired. Are you tired today? It's been hot. It's been humid. Some of you are worn down. Some have been running here, there, and yonder, trying to do everything you can, and there's still not enough time. I got in last night about 10 o'clock or 10, 15, or 30, needing to make more calls, needing to do this, needing to do more, more, more. That just doesn't seem to be enough time to do everything that we need to get done. But wait a minute, David is up in age, and he is fatigued, he's tired. Be careful, child of God, be careful, child of God, when you get in a state of fatigueness. Be careful, because the enemy is going to launch an attack on you then. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Mark it down. And so David is out there battling this great big old giant named Ish-bibenob. But the Bible says this giant almost killed him. He thought he was dead. I don't know, but in my mind's eye, he probably knocked David down and was ready to do him in. But thanks be to God, David had a right-hand man, namely Abishai. Let's say that name together. Abishai. Say it again. Abishai. And Abishai came to, the word of God says, succor. That means help. He came to David's side. Had David not have had this giant killing man, this friend, he would have been taken out. He'd have been snuffed out just like that. But David came, and David saw that this giant was about to kill him. And Abishai came and killed the giant. There's no God like my God. He's not only a mountain mover, but he's a giant killer. Can I tell you what happened a couple of weeks ago? I wish you'd have been here. I was here. I heard it, hallelujah. I heard it, hallelujah. Listen to me. A man stood up right over there and said, "Brother Pastor," in front of everybody. It was on Sunday night. He said, "It's been," speaking of giants, he said, "It's been 3 months, or close to it, I hadn't smoked a cigarette." That's what he said. He said, I just want to share a testimony. Hadn't smoked a cigarette in 3 months. I said, "Hallelujah. Glory, praise God." He's got a giant. What kind of giant are you facing? Every once in a while, somebody say to me, "Brother Pastor, it's been 5 years since I've touched a drop of alcohol." Or some say it's been 10 years. Or some say it's been 2 years. Or some say it's been a year since I've touched any alcohol. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you that God, you slew that giant. You're in the giant killing business. I love what Elaine did be told. She wrote that letter. I read it at the funeral. She said this. That's Chris's grandmother. She said, "I used to love beer." She wrote me a letter. I've got it in my file. She said, "I used to love beer. Now I hate it." She said, "I poured all of my beer down the drain and it stinks now." How many believe that booze stinks? Let me see your hand. Those that don't believe it stinks, you just need to get in it, wallow in somebody's vomit as they're sitting out there out in the road in the gutter and their life is on skid row. I'm telling you, sin thrills, but then sin kills. Oh yeah, a giant killing friend. Speaking of booze, I heard about a Sunday school teacher that was demonstrating the terrible awfulness of the consequence of drinking booze. And she put a jar here full of alcohol in it. She put another jar full of smoke. She blew smoke in it. She took a third jar and filled it up with chocolate. She took a fourth jar and put dirt, salt in it. The first jar, she dropped the worm. The second jar, she dropped the worm. The third jar, she dropped the worm. The fourth jar, she dropped the worm. The first jar, the worm fell in the alcohol, began to swim around, and all of a sudden, shriveled up and died. The second jar, she dropped that worm in with the smoke, and the worm was making its way, and all of a sudden the worm just dried up and died. The third jar was that of chocolate, and the worm dropped it and was moving around. I was taking in the chocolate, and all of a sudden the worm bursted, eating too much chocolate. She looked at the student and said, "Student, what does this illustration demonstrate?" One little boy raised his hand and said, "I know." She said, "What?" He said, "If you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms." He missed a little bit, amen. Just a little bit. I'm telling you, God, there's no God like my God. 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 He's not on a mountain mover. He's not on a giant killer number three. He is a need. How many believe he can meet your need right now? Oh, yes, he can. I'm going to take you over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. In the Gospel of John, you can note it. You won't have time to look it up. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, you note that Jesus is with his disciples. And he says to his disciples, there are 5,000 people besides women and children. And the disciples said, "We're hungry. What are we going to eat?" You remember the story? Andrew brings this little boy, a little lad with a lunch. He brings this little lad with a lunch to Jesus. I love Andrew. Every time you see me, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. How many believe it's important to bring somebody to Jesus? Oh, Jesus can help them. And what you need to do today is get to Jesus. You need to see a preacher. You need to see Jesus. You need to get to him, look unto him, and be saved. And so this little boy, I can see him in my mind's eye. He's coming over here to Jesus. And Jesus looks at that little lad and says, "Man, there's 5,000 people here to feed." How many of 5,000 are those? And he says, "What is this, Andrew?" And the little boy says, "Here, Jesus." And I can see Jesus as he gets that little boy's lunch. Two sardines, 5 pieces of bread. The little boy says, "Jesus, Mama said we didn't have much." Now, I'm just using my sanctified imagination. It's not in the Bible, but I can imagine in my mind's eye. That little boy said, "Jesus, this is all I've got." He said, "Jesus, I left the house this morning. Mama told me that all we had was 2 little fish and these 5 pieces of bread. But Jesus, what I've got, I want to give it to you." Y'all didn't hear me. I said, "What I got, I want to give it to you. All I got, I want to give it to you, Lord. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. What I got, I want to give it to you, Lord. I don't want to keep it for myself. I don't want to hoard it for myself. What I got, Lord, I believe you can take it and you can multiply it." Now watch this. Jesus takes in the boys, 2 fishes, 5 loaves of bread, and gives it to the disciples. He blesses it. And guess what happened? He had the disciples. I can see them as they're handing out that fish. That fish gets longer and longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. I don't know how God did it, but I know this. I know that there was enough to fill up that crowd, 5,000, beside men, that included women and children, and they fed 5,000, and guess what they took up? 12 basket full of leftovers. Now watch this. Can't you see that little boy? I'm telling you, there's no God like my God. Is there anybody here that says, "I don't know about trusting with my finances. I don't know about trusting God with what I've got." But Jesus, I can see that little boy when they take up them 12 baskets and said, "Here, son, here, go take this to your mama. Go take it home." That little boy I haven't seen in my mind's eye running home with those 12 baskets, knocking them. "Mama, mama, 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 you're not going to believe it, mama. Mama, you told me, you told me, you taught me, mama, that whatever I have, give it to Jesus. Mama, I just had those 2 little fishes. I just had those 2 sardines and those 5 pieces of bread, mama. But you're never going to believe it. What I had, I took it and gave it to Jesus. And mama, you're not going to believe it. Have we fed people all over? I couldn't count them all, mama. And here's what's left over. I left with just 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Mama, look what I got. I got 12 basketfuls full, mama. Look what Jesus did." There's no God like my God. Oh, I'm telling you. Is there
there anybody here could share a testimony? Is there anybody here could jump up and say, bless God, God said, prove me now. Here with said the Lord of hosts, bring you all the tithes of the whole storehouse, and may be meet in my house, and prove me now. Here with said the Lord of hosts, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You'll not be able to contain it. I'm telling you this, you can't outgive God. I believe that. When we give, God just keeps on giving. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, give and should be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. By the way, that's not just money. That means your time. That means your talents. That means your treasures. That means everything. I believe there's no God like my God because He's a great God. I tell you, the more I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more I love Him, the more love He bestows. Our God's a great God, church. Amen. 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 Has He been good to you? I said, has He been good to you? I said, has He met your need? I didn't say your want, but I said, has He met your need? Is there anybody here that said, bless God, there's no God like my God? But I didn't think I'd have enough. There came a provision somewhere, and God provided for me. Oh, yeah. Heard about one man that said to another man, he said, man, I wish I had some $100 bill. Another man, a friend of his, reached in his pocket, gave him $100. The man said, bless God, I wish I'd asked for $200. Well, he's a mountain mover. He is a need meter. There's no God like my God, number three. Guess what? Oh, listen. He's not only a mountain mover and a need meter. Watch. He's more than that. He's altogether loving. He is a peace giver. That's right. He's a peace giver. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Hey, look at me, look at you, look at me. How many would be honest with me today and say, I've got peace right now? But isn't it just like the blink of an eye, your peace can fly away like a dove? I can't hear it. Oh, that devil knows how to push them buttons. Right now you might have peace. But wait a minute. Paul said to be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving that you request be known to God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He's a mountain mover. Listen to me. He is a giant killer. He's a need meter. Number four, he's a peace giver. Some of you today, you don't have peace. You're troubled. You're worried. You're anxious about this and anxious about that. Can I tell y'all something that happened to me? And brother and sister, y'all look at me. Today you might not be worried. Today you might say, I've got peace in my heart. But tomorrow is a whole different situation.
Amen.
Tomorrow, storm might hit. It might hit tomorrow. You don't know. Let me tell you something happened to me. This week, I noticed on Sunday that I had these two bites rising on my hip right here. And I noticed they started getting infected. Pus, red, turning black. One of our men, John Keesler, had been bitten by a brown recluse in his foot. Spent time in the hospital. How many days? 3 days. I noticed these bites right here on my hip area. And all of a sudden, my legs started hurting. How do you know that the devil sure does hit you with fear? Come on, talk to me. Y'all aren't so sanctimonious. You're not so spiritual as you think you are. You just let you go through some trouble, and you'll start finding out. Oh, and I'm not as big as I thought I was. I'm not as brave as I thought I was. I'm not as spiritual as I thought I was. Oh, brother, I'm talking about the reality sets in. Flesh is weak. So, the devil started putting thoughts in my mind. How many know that when you're in trouble, when you're down, the devil starts putting thoughts in your mind? Come on, talk to me. Y'all aren't with me. I stopped in the wrong church here today. You're not listening. It's not connected. But I believe in the Spirit of God to connect it. You will, and I will, at times have to be in situations. And all of a sudden, fear, insecurity starts bombarding. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Some of you right now, you're right there. But you know what? I looked it up on the internet. What causes these big red welts with pus turning this color? Hurts. I looked it up, and there's what the internet said. This is the result. If you've been bitten by a black recluse, or if you've been bitten by a black widow, or if you've got some type of tick bite, I suspected it was something like that. I just Googled it in, and this is what I find out. You're probably going to get fatigued. You might get dizzy. You might have stomach cramps. I said, bless God, I thought that's what happened when you turned 50. Man, I've been experiencing that for years now. Come on, help me out there, somebody. But really, I'm telling you, there's no God like my God. Watch what the breakthrough came. The breakthrough came. I said, well, Lord, I'm not going to run to the doctor. Now, listen, I'm not against doctors. I said, Lord, I'm not going to go to the doctor every time I stump my toe. I just don't believe in that. And I love doctors. I got a wonderful doctor. Praise God for him. But I'm not going to run to the doctor every time I stump my toe or some little small thing happens. I know it could have been a big thing. And I'm not. You go to the doctor and say, sure, you're called. But do you know where the breakthrough came? I got home one day. And this is the early of the week, and my leg was starting to hurt a little bit, and I got home and walked out there on the porch. I saw a little red, that little miniature golden. That little red has a big swollen jaw about the size of a softball. Evidently a poisonous snake had bitten red. And I looked at that little old dog with a swollen jaw like this and said, bless God, if red can take it, I can too. And I'm not going to bother. I'm taking it. The breakthrough came. Glory. I said, I'm not going. Well, I got to do this good better. Amen. And it's still there. Oh, there's no God like my God. He's a mountain mover. He is a giant killer. He's a need meter. He's a peace giver. Number five, he is a hurt healer. He's a hurt healer. He hurt. He healed every hurt you got. Over there in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, there was a woman who had a issue of blood. She had an emotional problem. Spent all the money she had on doctors and still wasn't well. Then there's a little, there's a man who's a demonic man. He's full of demons. And then there's a third person that is a little daughter, a little girl, Jairus' daughter. And Jesus healed every one of them. I believe that he is a great physician. Amen and amen and amen. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. But praise God. God made us. God knows us. And bless God. He is the great physician. He's the one. There's no God like my God. I was at the hospital on Wednesday night after church. Went up to the hospital, had a call, and went up to the hospital. It was about 11:30, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. A man came out of the emergency room. I was sitting there in the emergency room, and a man came out. He's not a member here, but he recognized me. He said, Pastor, will you come back and pray with my wife? I said, I'd be glad to. She's been having these problems, and anyway, long story short, went back there and prayed with her, and several other people were back there. I talked with one particular person, and they said to me this question. Have you ever been posed this question? They said to me, if I committed suicide, I'd go to heaven. Have you ever heard that? I said, the question is not if you committed suicide, but you go to heaven. The question is, why did you commit suicide here? Hello. Y'all missed it, baby, didn't you? You listen to the devil. Oh, listen. God's able to heal every hurt. There's some of you today that are hurting. And listen, there's no God like my God. You can try this, you can try that. You can go here, you can go there. You can try to arm the flesh. You can try this and try that. But you're not going to find anything that meets the need like Jesus. Can I get an amen? Nothing like Jesus. Nothing like Jesus. That's what he wants you to do today. There's no God like my God. He is a healer. Hurt healer. He's a hurt healer. He's a peace giver. He's a mountain mover. He's a giant killer. He's a need meter. That's not all. Number six, he is a life saver. He is a life saver. Woo! He's a life saver. Jesus said this. I know you can't. I don't know about mom and daddy, but anyway, Jesus said, he said he's a life saver. How many believe he's a life saver? Amen. How many believe he's a life saver? Jesus is a life saver. I don't want you to forget this. He's a life saver. Jesus said this. And
John chapter 3 and verse number 17 through 19, Jesus said, y'all help me out here. I'm trying to remember what I was supposed to say. What am I supposed to say? John 3, verse 17. He said, the Son came not of the world to condemn the world, but that the world, I'm not saying y'all need to get sweeter, but I am saying y'all need a lifesaver. Amen. He said, the God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These are lifesavers. I'm telling you, my Lord's a lifesaver. How many believe that Jesus is a lifesaver? Hallelujah. Isn't he a lifesaver? He's a lifesaver, brother. I'm telling you, he's a lifesaver. Listen, John chapter 3 and verse number 36, Jesus said this. He said, he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. He's a lifesaver. Anybody need a lifesaver today? He's a lifesaver. You see, how many of you heard about that story that happened last week? Did you hear about that story over there? Did you hear about that? These look like they need some extra ones. Amen. Did you hear about that story up there in Canada? Did I give you one, Brother Jim? Did you hear about that story up there in Canada about them boys? They were playing at that pet shop. Did you hear about that? The pet shop that had a pack on. And they had these exotic animals. You don't hear about that? And then the story I read, up above the pet shop was Jesus is a lifesaver. Up above the pet shop was an apartment complex that the owner of the pet shop lived in. Did y'all hear about that story? You didn't hear about that story? And the next day, they found a little, true story, 7-year-old boy and a 5-year-old boy upstairs in the apartment up above the pet shop. The python had gotten loose out of his cage. And they say that the python went up through the ventilation into the apartment. And that python, or African rock python, got around them boys, a 7-year-old boy, killed him, smothered him, squeezed him to death, evidently. And then a 5-year-old boy killed him, smothered him, squeezed him to death. The next morning, to imagine the daddy walking in the room and seeing them two boys dead. That pet, hear me, that pet, what sometimes becomes our pet will kill us. Amen. I'm talking about pet sin. Sin will take your father than you're willing to go, keep you alone than you're willing to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Sometimes we think we can play with sin. Sometimes we think sin is our pet. But sin, our sin will find us out. Our sin will find us out. Paul said, what a man sows, that's what he also reaps. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Is there anybody here that's dabbling with some type of sin and saying, I know I can get close to the fire without being burned? You better watch out. You better watch out. That sin is going to find you out. It's going to hunt you down. It's going to find you out. Hey, I can get by with it. I'm just flirting with it a little bit. I'm not in it quite completely. I'm just compromising a little bit. God said, you better be careful about that. It don't take much to slip from God. It don't take much to smile from God. It don't take much to give the devil ground. Hey, there's no God like my God. He'll save you now. He'll forgive you now. He will rescue you now. There's some of us today, while we've been looking at some junk and some stuff, we've no business for a child of God, and you're involved in some stuff. You know deep down in your heart, on Friday night and Saturday, there's some junk out there that you don't have any business being around. There's some crowds out there, there's some friends out there, and there's some stuff out there that God's telling you today, hey, you need to make a new turn. You need to make a stop. You need to start putting Jesus back where he belongs. He deserves to have first place. Matter of fact, he demands to have first place. And praise God, he's worthy to have first place. Oh, yes, he is. You say, preacher, I don't like this kind of preacher. I don't care. I still love you anyway. I need every once in a while somebody to tell me the truth. Stop tickling my ears. Stop scratching the back. Stop patting on the back. Somebody tell me the truth of God's word, because the truth will set you free. Amen, amen, and amen. He's a lifesaver. Last but not least, and I'll be done. He's a great God. No God like my God. What kind of God you got? Hey, look at me. What kind of God do you got? Is he big? Is he small? Is he in a box? Is he in the computer? Is he in the closet? Is he in your car? What kind of God do you got? God that can move the mountains? Is it God that can calm the storm? Is it God that can walk on the water? Is it God that can meet every need to die? Is it God that can throw out the lifeline? Is it God that can give you peace in the middle of a storm? I'm telling you, our God, there's no God like Him. He's a grave robber. He went down in the grave after He was crucified on the cross and came up with the keys to death and hell. And He lives forevermore. Listen, He's not only a grave robber, but praise God, He's a king comer. And I'll tell you all something that happened to me last week. Lady, 2 weeks ago, not even 2 weeks ago, not last Thursday, but Thursday week ago, a lady shook my hand at the news. Her name, Frances Strait. Anybody know Frances Strait? She said, not last Thursday, but Thursday week, said, Pastor, thank you for coming today on Thursday. Thank you for coming today. She said, would you please come back next week? Every time I shook her hand, that's what she said. She said, would you please come back next week? I said, I would love to. I said, I'm going to be here, Lord willing. Are you going to be here? She said, I plan to be here. And I said to her, well, if I don't see you here, I'll see you there. If I don't see you here, I'll see you there. If I don't see you here, I'll see you there. If I don't see you here, I'll see you there. And if I don't see you here and there, I'll see you in the air. Last Wednesday, the day before I was to go, on Thursday, Frances Strait with Jesus. Last week, two ladies went to be with the Lord at the meeting. Precious ladies, sweet ladies. Frances Strait won. Don't get in your mind that she was 100 years old either. Very nice, godly lady, Bible teacher, and loved the Lord. Then this other lady named Betty Kiefer, went to be with the Lord. If you were to cross over, where would you spend eternity? But really the message is this. Jesus, there's no God like my God. Right now, as we stand our feet.